if she's capable of doing this to your face, then she then there'll be more, and more leads to escalation, and escalation leads to the possibility of decimation, and decimation could lead to zombie takeout, and zombie takeout would leave me with a broken heart.
And welcome to episode 421 of Zombie Takeout. I'm John.
And hello, I'm Scotto.
And apologies if I'm chuckling a bit. While you were doing that, I read the title of this week's episode. It cracked me up again.
Occasionally I come up with a zinger or two.
And without any further ado, on to this week's movies. This week we'll be reviewing three films, two shorts and a feature, all of which were submitted to us via email by the filmmakers. We have from 2020, well, take them in order that we'll be reviewing them, from 2019,
yes.
Sweet Revenge. We're reviewing them in order of, we actually didn't discuss this, I think in order of running time.
Yeah, I just assume that's what we were doing.
Yeah, from 2019, Sweet Revenge, then from 2018, Here There Be Monsters, and from 2020, Sister Tempest. And of course, it brings us to the impromptu plot summary, in this case, for Sweet Revenge. And we actually have sponsors for all three movies. This time, sponsored by doors. Sometimes they're best left unopened.
Also brought to you by checkbooks or electronic payment or fucking anything else. Because why would you pay anything in cash?
Yeah, does anybody actually use cash anymore? I mean, I tip for my tattoos with cash. That's about it.
And then you get the people that are like, I pay everything in cash. And it's like, oh, what do you want, a cookie? I mean, come on. All right. So we have a gentleman who was a witness to a crime. He gets a mysterious phone call that he's going to have revenge taken upon him because the person that he testified against has been out on parole, and he won't see it coming. It's just going to hit him. And after that, the landlady comes along and is pressing him for his rent. And then, people die. Hilarity ensues.
The running time on this is 7 minutes and 49 minutes. The two shorts are on YouTube. There are links in the relevant places on our blog and on YouTube, on this post on YouTube. So you'll be able to watch those for free. It's seven and it's just shy of 8 minutes, so there's not a lot that happens in it. I did enjoy it, though. A lot of very interesting music.
Right. There was. The way he sets tension is wonderful in this. It's the execution, though.
Well, it starts with this really creepy music, and I love how the phone interrupts it.
Right.
And then we get Luke Breyer, the killer. I did like how soft-spoken and kind of casual he was when he calls him and said, yeah, I'm going to kill you.
Right. And really, it does play out just that straightforward. I mean, you keep expecting for some sort of twist, some sort of swerve, some sort of nope. It is a straight line, A to B, to C, with the B being this diversion of the landlady in the middle.
I didn't look up the actor's names, but the actor played Luke, very soft-spoken, very casual. I loved him. The actor playing Jim, the victim, perfectly nebbishy, garners a lot of sympathy because, you know, he's calling the police the police chief at one point. You know, he's terrified that this, you know, killer is going to get him for good reason.
Right.
And then we get the Mrs. Sloan. And I just love the way she delivered the line. I am too old for this shit.
Danny Glover reincarnated.
Yeah, it wasn't a great performance. I kind of feel like she was probably a friend of the filmmaker who she just pulled in to like do a few lines. But you know, it was enjoyable. She was fun to watch. And I just love how she was completely unsympathetic to him.
Well, right, and you kind of, again, kind of expecting something to take a direction like, maybe he's going to ruin his life rather than kill him. Like he was going to find that he didn't have any money in his account or something like that. And then no.
And he just closes the door in her face. He says he has to go get the money and just closes the door in her face. I get a kick out of that. It also sets up, of course, that when he goes to open the door and give her the money, she's dead, and he looks up and the killer was there. I enjoyed that there was no effort put into the choking.
Okay.
He just puts his hand, Luke just puts his hands on Jim's shoulders and just
I
shakes
felt
him.
they were reenacting the calm down scene from Airplane.
There were no fucks given. Like, it was not even I mean, the guy who played Jim was kind of, mock choking, making the right sounds, but like no effort to
He
make it
was.
look like he was really choking him. I got a kick out of
I
that.
mean, he had his hands on his shoulders.
And then we get some
Like they hurt
random
even on his
flashbacks.
neck.
I kind of assume it was meant to be a comedy. It's a
Yeah,
very dry
kind of.
comedy, but I kind of assumed that was the intention.
I'm hoping that's what he was going for, because in that regard, it does work.
I love that Luke was just whistling after killing him.
Yeah, just the casual, chipper music.
If you look at it as a comedy, a very dry comedy, it works really nicely. Shout out to Bill Maher for the music. That was brilliant.
Oh yeah.
So on to Brains.
On to Brains.
I enjoyed it. I'm gonna recommend it for.
I'm going three. This is kind of like a, is this what he's going for? Is this what he's after? But yeah, the way he draws attention is very well done.
And on to our second film from 2018, Here There Be Monsters. And of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Monsters. Beware when fighting them, for when you gaze long into the abyss gazes also into you.
And also brought to you by school bus drivers. You had two jobs,
Yeah,
man.
it doesn't just end when you turn the bus off.
Okay. So we have man, the girl on the bus coming home from school, the two of the I guess the more popular girls behind her, and they just make her life hell
It goes beyond
and
bullying to an actual assault with a weapon.
And that of course sets up the end perfectly.
Yeah.
Just when you think it couldn't get worse for this girl, she winds up just kind of falling asleep, just
After
probably
the
just
assault, she lays
exhausted
down.
emotionally. Yeah, after the other girls leave, she just finally lays down and just, I mean, probably emotional exhaustion, like I said. And wakes up in the abandoned bus yard, unable to get out of the bus, which I think actually just happened somewhere within the last
Okay.
year or two.
I
I
kind
can't
of
remember
assume that was
which.
a contrivance, but I guess they do lock from the inside.
Which, I could have sworn I heard a story about this happening in real life, which may have even been the inspiration to this movie, because, like I said, it wasn't the last few years. But anyway, this isn't just a any old bus yard. There's some sort of fucked up creature here.
Looks
I don't know if
kind
it's a
of like a
troll.
satyr, but less human.
Yeah, right. It's fucking scary as hell, and it's pretty much coming for her, or at least senses her somehow. And it's coming after her, and I'm not sure exactly how she escapes, but she does, and we'll just say hilarity
Well, or does she?
ensues.
That's the question. The running time on this is 14:26. Brilliant use of time. There is no dialogue.
No.
which is amazing that they can tell this story with no words, except for you hear a little background dialogue on the bus at the beginning, and of course the snarling of the monster. That's it.
It's very rare that I read another review for a movie before we get on here, because I usually don't want to steal anyone's ideas or anything like that. But I saw the review that was on the IMDb page, accidentally, and it pissed me the fuck off.
This one had a review on IMDb. That's interesting because our feature did not have any reviews on IMDb, which is a surprise. Why did the review for Here There Be Monsters piss you off?
Because this person clearly did not get this movie. He thought, quote, dialogue would actually have helped this. As a result, it feels very disappointing as it feels incomplete or unfinished when it ends. What the fuck else do you need than what is in this film?
Dialogue rarely helps horror.
No. And this actress, and
Oh,
even
she's
the bad
amazing.
review, yeah, I need to see her in other things. She's gonna be a star, I think, because she's fucking like she did not need dialogue. She was just that good. And
I
even
need to
the
look
negative
up where
review
this was.
said she was a good actress.
She was brilliant. I need to look up where this was made, because maybe it wasn't from an English-speaking country, though. No, the email we got about it was in English. Perfectly good
I
English,
think it's
so.
Australian,
Okay,
or
so.
she's Australian at
Okay.
least.
So it was made.
Savannah Lorraine.
Okay. Yeah, she was brilliant. Loved how, again, they shock you in the beginning, because you get this really pretty opening music, and then the girl sitting behind her just keeps slapping her seat, and that's what
Yeah.
shocks us out of this beautiful music at the beginning. And
Right.
she finally slaps the seat back, kind of stands up to them. Girl behind her grabs a pen, jabs it into her neck. I
Well,
was
right.
livid when I saw that. It
He
actually
kind of
made me
felt.
angry. I
Well,
wanted
yeah,
to
the
see
whole
her
thing.
just rip the girl's head off.
He just come back and just deck
No, just
her.
literally beat her within an inch of her fucking life.
Yeah.
That's how angry I got at that point. The one contrivance which is speaks to your sponsor. We see the bus driver getting off of the bus at the deep at the bus yard. She looks back to the seats, doesn't see the girl's feet sticking out.
Right. Just did one of those casual glance backs. Oh, yeah, everything's good, of course. Nothing's gonna be back there.
Her feet were sticking right out the end. It's not like, the one minor criticism I have, it would have been maybe a little more effective if we see that shot and then she kind of straightens her legs and we see them come into the shot. One minor little, issue. I think that may be a slight improvement, just to make it more believable that the bus driver didn't know that there was anybody there.
I kind of believed it anyway, honestly.
Fair play. This one kind of felt like a Doctor Who episode a little bit.
Little bit, yeah.
It
Yeah,
had
it had
that
that
kind of
same.
mood to it, like the dark horror episodes they do. Really nice creature design. They were creepy as hell.
Yeah, this was like, what's his name? Pan's Labyrinth,
Del Toro.
Del Toro,
Del
yeah.
Toro was a big influence on those creature designs. Loved the tension when the creature got onto the bus.
Oh man, you like have no idea where the fuck this thing is
No,
going.
because she can't get the doors open, but somehow the creature gets the door open from the outside, comes up under the bus. She's crouched underneath the seats, and earlier, after she was stabbed, you see her pull out this pair of scissors. Like she wants to do something with them. The girls had already left at
Yeah.
that point.
Yeah.
Then she reaches for her bag to get the scissors to defend herself if necessary. The bag falls, and you think it's gonna get her at that point.
Right.
She manages to get off the bus, gets cornered by the creature. Loved the glowing eyes. Those were so nicely done.
Oh, and whatever the fuck that was for a mouth, man. Oh my God.
And how much do we want to give away of the ending?
I think, I mean, it's obvious she just had a psychotic break, you know? not Dr. Scott here, but something to that effect.
Okay. See, to me, I kind of took it literally, but that, okay. Maybe that's a little influenced by our final film, but
Well, no, I thought it'd be I saw thought that before seeing
okay.
the other
All right.
trip
See,
that we took after this.
my sponsor for this one is a Nietzsche quote. Be careful. Basic idea is be careful when fighting monsters that you don't become one. And this is essentially what happens in the film.
Right.
I honestly, rationally, don't know what to think about the ending. Emotionally, it was satisfying to see abuse of power met with gruesome death, especially these days. But rationally, I'm not sure how to feel about, that turn.
I mean, there's just so much. It was heartbreaking, I thought, you know? I mean, yeah, like what she literally exercised her demons, but on the other hand, you know, she's probably gonna get put away somewhere.
She unless the monsters are real, in which case she's defended.
You know, I had not thought of that because I really just assumed the monster was not real.
If the
That it
monster
was
is
her
real,
all along.
there's an interesting story there, and I do have a little sequels and remakes because I went into this assuming that monster was real. Even
Well,
if
of
it
course,
isn't,
yeah.
that could be an interesting sequel.
I mean, we kind of spoiled some of this by saying it's not, or suggesting it might not be. But I think, you know, how else would she have gotten away from it? You know, it's
Yeah,
kind
I
of the thing.
mean,
But that thing had her dead to rights.
yeah, but maybe it saw something in her.
True.
That's hence the, if she became one. And I think that could make a sequel interesting. A continuation of the story could be really interesting. Particularly if it's not real, because she'll keep saying it.
And this, I think this was the perfect length, though. I
Oh yeah.
mean,
No, this yeah, both shorts couldn't shouldn't could not and should not have been any longer.
the first one I could have had a little longer to have developed the killer a little bit more
I
instead
kind
of
of just
the landlady.
I appreciate the straight line in Sweet Revenge. But this one
But
was
this
perfect.
one, yeah, just I perfection, which kind of gives away what I'm going to give it for brains.
Yeah, I'm actually adjusting my rating slightly. Also, onto brains. Yeah, I'm going five. You're gonna go five.
Yeah. Five. Perfect. Yeah. No arguing with it.
And on to our feature, our final film, from 2020, Sister Tempest. And first, that brings us to the final impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the Mariposa Art School for Gifted Young Ladies. Induce the labors of art and creativity in your spiritual womb.
And also brought to you by Dog Intestines. When you're looking for the worst possible thing to eat on or off the planet, eat full dog intestines.
Actual
Yeah.
thing that happened in the movie.
It was kind of at the level of Tom Green at that point. All right. So, and this one we've talked about. Are going to do our best to not spoil
Yeah,
this
we're
one
not. There's a
because
twist at the end, we're not going to spoil.
it's going to make it really tough to talk about because the twist is the problem we had with the movie. But
Particularly
anyway.
because the director Joe Badon, who we reviewed his first film, The God Inside My Hair, a couple years ago, he's probably going to hear this, so I don't want to disrespect him by, spoiling his movie.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. We're full respect to this because I mean, well, we'll see when we review it. Yeah. But anyway,
It gets weird.
yeah, that's what we like. But anyway, we have these two sisters. They grew up in a strict home, where the elder is always. Did we really have two sisters? Anyway.
I think that part is pretty much a given. There were
Okay.
definitely two sisters.
Okay, so we had two sisters, and they One was always looking out for the younger one, and the parents died at a very early age, so she was kind of the person taking all the responsibility. And one night, well, before the youngest starts to go out with a drug dealer, and of course that is problematic to the older sister. And then one night after the older sister had finally been out working so many hours, and the younger sister felt neglected, they have an argument because the younger sister just wants to go out on her own and do her own thing. And
She's a teenager.
it's just as the older sister had found a better job, so she wouldn't have to work as many hours. Although, point of problem there, she, I guess it is just an art teacher. She became a teacher, which meant she had to work less hours, which, huh, interesting. But I guess that's what art teachers got, huh?
As a former teacher, in your case.
Yes. English, though, so
Well,
lots of papers.
yeah,
All right, so they have this argument. She storms out. The younger daughter, the younger sister, is at the lover's lane with a drug dealer who's just saying, I'm gonna go legit. I'm gonna retire and walk out of this business. Which, of course, in any movie,
Well, he said
you
that in the
know that
previous scene,
means.
but yeah.
You know that means
She's dead meat.
his days are. Yes, he to quote the movie Hot Shots, he's dead meat. I'm surprised we have not reviewed that movie, actually, after all these years. And so many times we've referenced it. At least early on, we referenced it a lot more often. But yeah, just walks up, gets pretty much one to the head. And right in the middle of the car, with the younger sister there with him. Oddly enough, though, he gives the younger sister something before he gets killed. He gives her a human eyeball.
Which is later revealed to be a nice bit of temporal fuckery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, you get the scene, you get that scene, you get the scene of like a monster. Or space giant spaceman walking through a town and crushing it and stuff, and then you get the trial at the same time, and yeah, that's the first 10 minutes. I think you texted me,
Eight
like,
minutes and change,
how?
I messaged Scott and said, I can't wait to see how you're going to pull off the plot summary for this one, because it was just completely insane for those 8 minutes.
Right, that was it, and I knew exactly what part you're up to when you texted me that. I was like, yep. So yes, she, the older sister, is on trial. I guess I should call her by her name rather than
Anne is the older sister, Karen's the younger.
that's right. Anne Hutchinson, who is one of like the original Puritan spiritual advisors
Nice
and
reference.
religious reformers. From the Massachusetts colony.
That
But yes,
explains a
Anne.
couple of scenes.
Right. So Anne is on trial by these creatures, and oh man, at least half a brain for just this thing that he came up with of actually having a camera crew worked into the fucking movie. I felt like genuflecting my monitor as I was watching it. I'm like, this fucker is such a genius just for that alone. So yes, that is the person, the aliens documenting us or
IMDb
whatever.
refers to them as aliens. They're later revealed to be working for God.
Right. Angels or aliens or whatever the fuck you'd want to call that. They are all dressed in white, so maybe they are angels, actually. So.
Although the leader of them looks like a bit like a Space Ghost villain.
Yes. Or, yeah, just something from Futurama or whatever. Yeah, Space Ghost villain, you're right. And so she's on trial and explaining, relaying the story as to how it happened and her relationship with her sister. But her sister is missing. And of course, her life is just completely fallen apart. She gets a new student at the time. And
Whose name it took me like 20 minutes until somebody actually said it like straight out to get.
there's two jokes within her name. Her first name is Ginger. Her middle name is Rogers. Her last name is Breadman.
Somebody had to say, I think it was one of
Rogers
the aliens, Gingerbread Man. And I was like, oh,
Breadman.
fuck.
Yes.
Because the Ginger Rogers I'd put together, but
Yes.
when I first heard it, but when the alien said Gingerbread Man, I was like, oh God.
So man, a twofer in the joke department there for one name. That's brilliant as well. So the Anne winds up taking Ginger in. Actually, Ginger winds up unable to pay her tuition. So she's about to go back home to Idaho when Anne offers to live in her place. And
Remarkably inappropriate. A teacher saying,
yeah,
"Yeah, live with me when you can't afford school."
that was a bit uncomfortable, that thing.
Makes
takes
sense
her
in the
character.
end.
They talk about, and then yeah, just in case you were wondering, she does, flat out say they are lovers
Yeah, at one point.
at one point, ma'am. So you're just like, they don't seem old enough, huh? But
Well, that's true. I was thinking 18, but that's the sister was 18 when she left.
yeah.
We don't, well, it's an art school. So it's not a high school, it's an art school. So
Very
presumably
true.
it's college level. At least that was my assumption.
True. It's just the uniforms
Yeah,
and,
a couple of them wear like very cheesy, like 80s video Catholic school uniforms.
Right. So the things take a turn.
Oh, things
Anne,
take several turns.
that's true. Anne gets a starts getting a boyfriend, but Ginger starts getting, you can't really say jealous as much as just batshit
Yeah,
crazy.
she goes total single white female on her.
Yeah, and it's not just that, she also gets these boils on her face.
Turns into, well, it's described again on IMDb as a cannibal, but she eats the dog, so not cannibal. She just has this craving for raw meat.
Right. And I guess the first well, she does have this thing where somebody gets, jabbed in the classroom and she just goes and licks
The
the
wound.
blood off and you're just kind of like, "Wait, what?"
Very uncomfortable scene.
It's just completely out of nowhere that you're just like, wait a minute, what? And then, so she just starts eating raw meat and then graduates to getting this dog, and then there's some of these like football guy jocks, which also suggests to me that it's not just an art school but like a high school.
Okay, maybe. Well, that'd be a different campus then. That'd be a completely different school. An art school is a
True,
separate thing.
true.
These guys were just high school students, or I say fr I have frat boys in my notes. They could be college.
Very true. You're right. That could be either way. It's never spelled out. And it's pretty much implied that she does gets the whole group and most likely eats them all up too. I'm trying to think of where to stop this without
Well,
spoiling it.
yeah, things between Anne and Ginger come to a head as she's explaining what went wrong with her sister to this alien tribe or, angel tribunal. That ends up she ends up fighting Ginger and killing her.
What a great scene, the glow
Oh
wrestling
God, yes.
fighting and then the the I don't know what you'd call it, the power balls and stuff. You're just like a video game.
In the middle of all of this, she witnesses not so an accident, but the aftermath of an accident, a guy whose car was demolished and he's laying dead on the street, and she begs God to save him. Kind of angelic being comes out and says, I can do a lot of, I can do, I ask her what she wants, and when she says she wants the guy to come back to life, I can't do that. And she says a couple of other things. She says he can't do it.
It reminded me of the old SNL Hercules skit where, this boulder is too large, perhaps a smaller one.
So things come to a head with Ginger, and then there's a reveal that we will talk around, but it's going to be a little difficult. And then in the end, she brings the guy back with a sacrifice.
Yes.
Already ensues.
Hilarity ensues.
The red background in the opening scene when we see the two girls, their parents had passed away and they're kind of pledging to look after each other. Very Grindhouse. Very 70s, very Grindhouse. You all loved that. Great use of stock footage, too. There's a lot of stock footage in this movie and it all works perfectly.
Oh yeah, it's just it really illustrates the insanity, really.
Also loved the glitching after Chris was shot the first time.
Oh
'Cause
yeah.
we see that scene where he gives her the eye and gets shot bef right at the beginning of the movie before we have any context. And
Right.
it just totally glitches out after he's killed.
Kind of reminds me of Mandy or
Yeah, very much.
that whole scene Beyond the Black Rainbow.
And then we get a guy who gives us his introduction to the film and basically says, stop here or if you don't want to know, because once you know, you will never unknow.
Right.
Oh, that actually, no, that was before Chris was shot. After Chris was shot, maybe my favorite part in the movie, it cuts to the script being written.
Oh, right. Screenwriter. Just
Fucking
throwing it away.
genius. Yeah, he throws out the script. And
Was
then,
like, oh, fuck this.
yeah, and then we get the guy monologuing to the camera saying, stop here if you don't want to know because you'll never unknow. And then we get this little girl's head and this like French Revolution wig, like floating head. It's a green screen trick.
Yeah.
A camera trick. She's
Very
wearing
basic.
black. It's a
Yeah.
black background. But he's got this like French Revolution Marie Antoinette kind of wig. And she gives this introduction to the film, reminded me so much of Munchausen. It was just a very Terry Gilliam kind of move.
Well, right. It was the moon.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm the
Moon.
Munchausen scene with Robin Williams. That's
Yeah.
exactly what it reminded me of. Loved the distortion on the alien voices. They all have different kinds of cheesy distortion and very cheap alien costumes.
Oh yeah,
The costuming was
gloriously
genius.
cheap costuming.
Yeah. Loved these. I'll call them Zeolans, I think was the pronunciation. They're the camera people who are, filming and recording everything. They have this introduction with the Zeolans on screen in this, like, very 70s font with this funk playing. And they give them this intro, this, kind of hyped intro. Very, very 70s. Very, very Shaft.
But just think, I mean, my experience in filmmaking is so limited, but I know one of the hardest things was getting things mic'd and, lit
Yeah, I can
properly.
imagine. I've studied
But
audio engineering, I've done some live stuff. That is very challenging.
if you worked something into the script that would justify having a sound guy there,
Oh, I didn't
it's
even think
fucking.
they were actually the sound people.
Yes, that's as soon as I saw it, I was like, this guy's a genius.
Oh, shit, that is
Why didn't
genius.
I ever fucking think of that? He worked the camera crew into the film.
So the boom was in the shot deliberately several times.
Well, right. If I can't, you're right. I need to the best way to mic this person up, but I can't hide, but I can't mask the mic or the boom. Yep, the boom belongs there. He's part of the fucking movie.
Wow.
Yeah, my jaw hit the desk when I saw that. I was just, why didn't I ever think of that? My life would have been so much easier back then. I may still be a filmmaker now if I could have thought of that.
I
I don't
was
know how I
look.
would have done it in multiple films, but
I was looking at Joe Badon's
yeah.
IMDb. This is only his second film. He's worked in the art department on a few other things. He's done this and The God Inside My Ear. That's it. And he's already on this level.
Yeah.
Amazing. I loved Anne delivering this, serious monologue to camera, talking about her sister with this ridiculous helmet on her head. It was a bit Clockwork Orange, actually.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. And how quickly Karen packed after her fight with Anne when she runs away. She just like walks to the closet, grabs a couple of shirts, throws them in a suitcase and walks out. And she says, "I'll be back for the rest," but then says, "Goodbye forever." And then we see Chris getting shot again, it makes slightly more sense the second time because we understand why he got shot, or we think we understand why he got shot.
Yeah.
Because he wants out. He wants out of the drug dealing business. So we figure, that's his supplier, killing him for quitting. And his name is Christopher Tidalwave,
Yeah.
which I kind of like in Sister Tempest.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Damn, how did I not put that together?
his death, or that incident, was the catalyst. He was very much
Yeah.
the catalyst for everything. So he was the
Well,
tidal
right,
wave that
literally,
fucked everything up.
because she wouldn't have left, they wouldn't have gotten into the fight, they.
And then there's the first scene with Jeffrey when he's trying to console her after her sister runs away. He touches her arm, and there's this look of disgust in Anne's eyes.
Yeah.
That I got a kick out of. That was very nicely done. Kind of surprised that they did end up getting back together. And again, from an audio standpoint, again, former audio engineer. I guess I still kind of am because I edit this.
Yeah.
But when Ginger, comes into the class and is introducing herself, the 60 cycle hum in the background. Such a beautiful touch, because nothing says. There are two things that just scream dead silence: crickets and a 60 cycle hum. Because it's a classroom, you've got the lighting, it's gonna have a hum to it. Loved that. And then we see throughout this movie, throughout the movie at this point, it's implied that Karen was pregnant.
Oh, yeah, the eggs.
So we see in these kind of living statue scenes, those scenes where the people actually like pose in costume and makeup to like recreate a painting. It's that kind of a thing. Think the Losing My Religion video, if you've seen it.
Oh,
We
right.
get those kind of scenes like introducing, the chapters. There's like six chapters in the movie, and at other points. And we see Anne, or sorry, Karen, after she disappears, posing with this egg, at one point dancing with the egg. Loved all of that. Like, how many different ways can they show her with this egg, suggesting that she was pregnant when the incident happened?
Were there seven chapters, so?
So it could have been seven. I counted. I remember
Yeah, I
six.
think
Could have been a
so.
seventh. And then Anne one day just randomly walks out of her classroom because she hears something outside, or she feels compelled to walk outside, and is suddenly transformed, trans you know tr trans transferred what's the word I'm looking for? Transported, that's what I'm looking for, back like a couple of hundred years. Now I understand why. That she
Right.
shares a name with this, Puritan,
Yeah.
and she's beheaded. And her head at that after that point is an obvious mannequin head, which I laughed so hard at.
Well,
They
right.
take her head, put it on a mannequin, try it on another mannequin, put a wig on it.
I
Loved
kind of expected that, sure.
it. And then we get the first of Ginger's musical interludes. I don't know if I liked them, but they were interesting.
They give the first hint in that scene, by the way, where they throw a blonde wig on the head.
Oh yeah.
Or they throw the
darker
brown
wig, yeah.
The brunette wig
right
onto the mannequin head.
Right.
And I kind of like, wait a minute.
Yeah, this is one. This is one, like, while I was watching it, I was kind of like, is it going to be on that list of movies I'm glad I saw once? But I definitely need to see it again to wrap my head around it more. This is, you know, I finished it about 45 minutes before we started recording, before we got on Skype. So I didn't have a whole lot of time
so
to process.
You have not had time to, yeah. And there is, you know, a lot to process.
Yeah. And then her, I say cannibal turn, but her, you know, obligate carnivore turn is a bit of a surprise. You know, it kind of comes out of nowhere, this craving for raw meat. And I'm wondering if there's a deeper meaning to it.
You know, I mean, I think it's just repression that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's also the whole, like, puritanical, you know, thing.
That's true, because Anne is very superego. She's very repressed, very in control.
And just, you know.
Because she had to be the responsible sister.
You know, just becoming an animal.
Yeah. Huh. And then we get the floating head girl back on this videotape that Anne's given that says, EYECU. Loved her little monologue explaining that, you know, God is watching her all the time. And, you know, she's going to be judged for everything she does.
And then it ending with the video.
Yeah, yeah. The recursive thing. Loved that. Just a videotape.
It's of her living room watching her TV.
Right. And just someone being sent a videotape and having a VCR in 2020.
Yes.
Admittedly, I had a VCR for longer than I probably should, probably to like 2000. You know, I can't believe anyone would have one in 2020.
I do have one, but I have not hooked it up in a long time.
Right. I barely
it's
even
still
use my
packed somewhere,
DVD
I think.
Player anymore.
I got a DVD player too. Again, not hooked up.
Right. And then we get Ginger calling Anne saying, you know, something happened with her, you know, their funding. She can't afford school. She's going to have to move back to Idaho. Anne tells her to come over. First weird thing. Ginger comes over. She's explaining the whole thing, kind of crying. There's a hug. And then Anne tells her to move in. Incredibly inappropriate.
Again, did you recognize her from The God Inside My Ear?
Say again?
Did you recognize her from The God Inside My Ear? Because I did not until looking at the IMDb.
Was it the same actress as the lead?
Yes.
I thought she looked familiar. I couldn't place her. Wow. That's impressive.
That's versatility, damn it.
That has some damn good versatility. I get a look. Linnea Gregg. I remember her name because the Linnea caught my attention. Caught my attention because I'd seen it in 2 years ago. That is some great versatility. It's not unusual for, you know, smaller filmmakers to reuse, you know, to have a stable of cast members that they reuse.
Right.
But Linnea Gregg is damn impressive after those two. Loved the text on screen during the house tour.
Like
she's giving Ginger this tour of her house.
Fourth wall, but just, you know, it's the tour is really to us.
Right. Love that. And then Jeffrey's complicated way of, you know, starting. He brings in, you know, the cart with the VCR. Again, another VCR. With this tape from the principal that they're going to show the class. He taps like three buttons on the VCR and it hits the side to start it. Loved that. And the way the principal said, "human," reminded me so much of the Ferengi. For those who don't know, I'm currently in the middle of catching up on DS9. I'm almost done with season 4. The way he said it just was so Ferengi.
And what's with the missing hands? It's two people who had hands missing.
Oh yeah, the director, the principal, and then at the end, right? Recurring thing. It was very Fellini. It's kind of it's kind of that art house feel.
Yeah, yeah.
I just took kind of chalked it up to that. And then throughout the movie, there's this giant woman in a spacesuit walking through the city, stepping on houses. starts off as this cheesy sci-fi movie that Karen's been watching at the beginning of the movie. And then we find out that Karen is the woman in the spacesuit. Loved that. And the music behind Sherry's story, and Sherry's story in general, story of this mite who was married and had a kid. This married mite was just unsettling and brilliant, especially the music behind it. The whole obligate carnivore story with Ginger seems kind of tacked on, but I don't care because it just worked.
It's set up. And the twist is really set up to support too from
once the beginning. The twist happens. We're not going to reveal the twist, of course, like we said, but
right.
The one shared grievance we have with the film, the twist is kind of cliche.
It is very reminiscent of a movie that was big in the late 90s, what I will say.
And it's been used in other films too. Sisters that we reviewed a while back. Other places. But he totally buys it back. Like, I was a little disappointed when we got to that twist, but where it goes after that totally earns it.
And, I'm not going to fault it that much just because, it wasn't like it was just out of left field, nowhere. Right. It was all set for the beginning.
Oh, no, it's totally set up.
Yeah. And then, of course, it does go even further. There's some weirdness after that.
Oh, one other little criticism, and this isn't really a criticism of the film, just more of a statement of my own personal taste, disgust level. Ginger's skin condition looked a bit too real. The makeup was really good.
It did. That I want to say flawless, but quite the opposite. Mm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, not done. Yeah. Brilliant makeup job there. Love the music cue when she's eating the dog. It's just so out of nowhere and bizarre. Also out of nowhere when she suddenly ties up Anne. And, passes out, has this fantasy, I think, of the aliens, wakes up, and she's tied to, and Ginger has her tied to a chair. Kind of comes out of nowhere, but it works, especially in light of the twist. Love the Who's the Boss reference.
And not just the casual reference. No. They go through the whole fucking cast, almost.
Almost, except for the annoying kid. They don't give his name, but every other,
Well, right, because who gives a fuck about the annoying kid? Yeah.
Every other character she names, and Tony Danza, of course, he gets a name checked. Love that. Again, you have to be I'm assuming Joe Badon is our age. You have to be our age to get that joke.
There are some fantastic jokes just thrown about throughout this in the background, when Jeffrey's bringing her to the closet. Actually, no, it wasn't Jeffrey, it was the narrator bringing her to the closet, and he goes, "Supplies," which was straight from UHF,
right?
And did you notice some of the announcements over the school intercom?
Not offhand, but I think they kind of caught my attention at the time. Very trauma-esque.
There was one that was all right. It was wood shop has been canceled due to a forest fire.
Right.
But that my favorite, Nurse Jack A, medical emergency in room 227.
Nurse Jack A. I remember that, but I didn't put it together.
Medical
emergency
in room 227. I was like,
wow.
Oh, man.
Golf clap for that.
Yes.
Wow, I remember that announcement, but I didn't put the joke together. And
But you got to be listening with headphones because the ears are just like in the
I
background.
heard it. I just didn't notice the. I kind of ignored the room number. I didn't really care. Random room number. And Jack K. I just heard Jackie, but yeah, now that you mentioned it, was
Oh
Jack
no,
K.
it was Jack A.
T27.
There's
Damn.
Jack A, medical emergency in room 227.
Also, music and sound effects when Ginger is killing the frat boys was brilliant. Because it
Oh,
goes totally cartoony.
yeah. They literally have cartoons just,
Yeah.
in there.
Also, really loved the parallel between Jeffrey and Anne, walking up to this church choir and interspersed with them walking up to this bonfire, stripping down to their underwear and dancing.
Right. Oh, right. Just giving glimpses of different universes, like at the same time.
And
Just
just that
wow.
parallel of them both kind of filling the same human need.
Yeah.
Love that. There is a lot in both Joe Badon's films. I'm going to start calling him by his first name.
Yes, because we're never going to get the last name right.
No. And also, we were discussing. It turns out Shane Carruth has become is kind of a garbage person, so I don't think we'll be reviewing any more of his films.
There isn't going to be another film
There
for
probably
Shane
won't be another
Carruth.
film. I think Joe Badon is going to become our new Shane Carruth.
I think so too.
So, in both of Joe's films, there's a lot of religion, which is
Yes.
a little weird for me as an atheist, but it never comes across as preachy, which is good. It's not like a pro-religion thing. He just kind of uses it as a language,
Yeah.
as a way of kind of putting things together, which I do appreciate.
I think he kind of puts it as almost a part of nature in itself, rather than just some sort of dogma. It's just, it is what it is.
Also, did you catch the who told Jeffrey in the bar that his car was being destroyed?
No, I didn't notice who that was. It was a woman.
Ginger finds Jeffrey's car while he's at a bar. She starts, taking a baseball bat to his car and spray painting it and such. And Jeffrey's in the bar. Someone walks up to him, tells him his car is being wrecked. It was the same actress who played Anne.
Oh.
She was just wearing a hoodie, with the hood up. She walks up, just has one
That
line to
really
him.
was just her?
Yeah, your car's getting wrecked. He runs out. Yeah, I'm reading
I
it.
don't think we've talked enough about the actress playing Anne too. She was
Oh,
just
brilliant.
I yeah, I
She
was
also looks
just
very familiar. I'm sure I've seen her in other things.
I swore that too, but I did not see anything else.
Okay, maybe she just has one of those faces, but she looks very
Yeah.
familiar.
But yeah, just absolutely. And I know critics love to use this word, but I'm gonna do it. I don't think I've used it before, or maybe if I maybe have, I just forgotten. I'm gonna go with mesmerizing, damn
Yeah.
it.
Just perfect in the role.
Yeah.
Everybody in this movie was perfect in their roles. And of course, like I said, Ginger Breadman, I didn't put together until one of the aliens said it straight out and.
But Anne is just such a tough role to
Oh
play because he what he's doing here, he's balancing these really sad and serious topics in just the most batshit crazy, zany way,
And Anne has to play straight for the whole thing.
Right.
And
Just the cartoon when she's angry and driving home to confront Ginger, just the way to convey an emotion rather than just saying, oh, have her act it out. She's acting it out, but he's doing it almost like an impressionist painting,
Yeah.
in the form of movie making.
And you mentioned the confrontation with Ginger. Another favorite part of mine.
Yeah.
She walks in, they argue, it gets physical. And as soon as it gets physical and they go at each other, it becomes a glow wrestling match.
They are suddenly dressed as glow wrestlers, and then even after that, where they get the power balls, so that
Yeah.
it becomes like a Mortal Kombat sort of thing.
Just absolutely brilliant. I did notice a couple of times that Anne is referred to as Mrs. Hutchinson. I didn't notice a husband. Or a spouse.
No.
I don't think she married Ginger. So that was odd. And then after the twist, we see the movie played backwards. Or a fair chunk of the movie. I'm glad we didn't have to sit through all of it. Though I think if it was the entire movie up to that point, it might have bought it half a brain just to have the balls to do that.
Go back to the screenwriter at the beginning. Yeah.
But I am glad, just for time's sake, we didn't have to see sit through the whole thing. Loved how the severed eye came into it. Great temporal fuckery there.
Now, you said that the person that got saved in the end was the...
I think it was the guy who died in a car accident.
It may have actually been Jesus.
Possibly. They could have gone that way, too.
Yeah.
I figured, because she had said earlier that she, you know, she desperately wanted to bring this guy back to life, that
True.
That trade was the way to bring him back to life. You know, despite what she had done, her final act was to bring someone back to life, to sacrifice herself for the life of another. Kind of a, you know, Christ-like move.
Yes.
But
Jesus would explain why he was laughing.
How so? I'm over my head on that one.
Well, just kind of like the whole, wait a minute, I was supposed to have done this for you.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you doing?
Because the guy who died in the accident did have a beard. I didn't notice long hair. But
right,
there was a lot of blood.
Yeah, it's true. It is very tough to see because there's a lot of blood.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who beds.
She brings to life at the end has long hair. I mean, very Jesus looking. Very, you know, white Western Jesus looking character.
Yeah.
Then the very end, the mailbox, I loved that. We find out the thing that she really did want, which is, you know, forgiveness from her sister. And yep, she gets that beautiful ending. On the brains. There's no sequels or remakes here. It's a self-contained story. And you know, obviously it's this year, so nope, don't want to remake. And nobody could remake this.
Yeah, I don't. Good luck trying.
Yeah. And I'm going 5. This, you know, despite the one thing that was a tad cliche, the rest is just so genius. It's a 5.
It is kind of tough to not go 5, but I'm going to do 4.5 just because that was such a key component to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And even the way they kind of told it back was very much like that other movie from the 90s. So 4.5. Still recommending it, though.
Of course.
It's such a crazy ride.
Mm-hmm. And what have we learned?
Potatoes. There's a lot of them, but what the fuck do you think they're putting in those things?
And I'm along some very similar lines. I learned that potato fields are both salty and hairy. Love that line. And that is it for this week's movies. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Bad Milo. This is a horror comedy starring Ken Marino, so very much in our wheelhouse.
Just one movie? Are we just slumming it?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be nice to go back to that, because this was
yes.
a bit of... I mean, the others were just like 20 minutes in total, or, you know, roundabout, so it wasn't much extra, but Tempest was a full 2 hours, so it was a bit tight for me today.
It was enough. Yeah, it was enough.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.